Mental health care is very different in our country from what it used to be. Through the middle of the 20th century, people with mental illness were often sent to huge hospitals, warehoused, kept out of sight and mostly out of mind of the general public. The attitude shifted toward treating people in their own communities, close to family and support systems. We're obviously still tinkering with the formula. Something new will be added to the mix in Medford later this year. Plans are in the works to open Compass House, a new mental health facility. Matt Vorderstrass is with Jackson County Mental Health and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So we hear frequently about the lack of facilities for mental health care in the United States. Can you give us an idea of the overall picture?
Well, since around the 1980s, we began to see a reduction in mental health services that were provided, where everything was shifting from the state providing the services to the counties. And at that point in time, we saw an influx of county services and also nonprofits that were beginning to provide these services. And what we find in Jackson County in general is that in the past couple years, even as the medical community has been ramping up its services to try and improve outcomes and everything like that, we saw the closure of the Hawthorne Center, which was a peer-run drop-in center, and the closure of DASL, which was the Disability Advocacy for Social and Independent Living. And those two peer-run centers primarily served both the homeless and the mental health populations. And so it was a very interesting phenomenon to see that throughout the community there was this big increase in services, but at the same time there was a void that was created for specifically the mental health population, especially with peer-run services.
Peer-run services means what it sounds like, where it's essentially run by the people who are getting the services also have a role in managing?
Well, yeah, in certain cases, there are staff and there are people in place that are accountable to the organization. But in many cases, peer-run services are where peers are directly involved in helping provide those services. And in the case of Compass House, the clubhouse model is really a model of shared responsibility between staff and members, where members become involved pretty much in every operation that goes on within the clubhouse itself. So it helps really provide a peer network of peer support for individuals.
So Compass House is not a brand new concept by any stretch of the imagination.
Not at all.
Like. But are there other Compass Houses, other places?
There are over 330 clubhouses internationally. We're working with an organization called Clubhouse International to help us establish Compass House, and really through the development of it to make sure that we're living up to clubhouse standards and making sure that we are providing quality services. And this model actually began in 1948 in New York with Fountain House, where a group of individuals that had just been released from a state hospital came up with the idea that they would come band together, purchase a home, and begin treating it like a clubhouse where it was their safe place that they could go. And from that model, we ended up with what we call the clubhouse model of psychosocial rehabilitation, which is now an evidence-based practice registered with SAMHSA.
SAMHSA?
Yep. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration.
So what is the concept then? Is it a residential facility, Compass House?
It's logged as a day treatment program. So it doesn't provide housing on site. There are some clubhouses, as they grow, that they will start getting into housing off location for their members. But in general, the clubhouse is really a day program that has some social and recreational activities that happen in the evening on weekends.
So with Compass House potentially opening middle of this year, but with the Hawthorne Center and DASL, as you mentioned, both having closed in recent years, is there a net loss of spaces for people to get services like they're trying to get through Compass House?
There's already been
a loss, but I mean, you're not actually backfilling the total loss through the creation of Compass House.
Not yet. In the first year, our hope is to have a membership where we can have an average daily attendance of about 40. That would probably put our total membership of members up to around 200, which at that point, at the end of the first year, we would start to actually hit the numbers that DASL and Hawthorne Center were serving on a daily basis.
And so who are the entities involved in the creation of Compass House?
Well, Jackson County Mental Health. They are strong supporters of this. We have a very strong partnership with them in the development of this. We actually assume DASL's 501c3 status. So that actually put us about a year ahead of schedule at this point in time. We are working with United Way. They're very involved in advising us through this process. The Addictions Recovery Center, their deputy director, Edward Burns, had been involved in the planning process of this because he also had an interest in seeing this exist. and a number of other individuals from the community, from retired therapists to peer support specialists to other nonprofit workers. Both the CCOs and the county are very much on board with this. So we've seen a community of support come forward for this, but it's really been a core group of people that have been doing the work for putting it together.
That's a nifty trick, though, being able to take over Dassel Center's 501c3 nonprofit status.
It was amazing. You know, what it turned into was we modified our bylaws and did a name change with the state of Oregon for $50, and that took out applying for a federal 501c3 status. So it took a lot of work off the table just by being able to do that.
Matt Vorderstrass is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the creation of the Compass House in Medford coming up later this year. There's actually a meet and greet tonight I'll ask you about in just a couple of moments. You can join our discussion on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about mental health treatment in the community and how it is affected. Join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So that people don't live there. It is a clubhouse concept. So this is an interesting relationship then between staff and and people who visit.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the key things with the clubhouse is that it complements traditional mental health treatment. But within the clubhouse, they've taken everything clinical out of it. So it's really a place where members can focus on rebuilding vocational skills, rebuilding social skills, and networking into the community into services that they may need. But it's really a place that within the clubhouse, they're focusing on building their strengths rather than focusing on their diagnosis.
All right. So it's a way to be a person, to be a person out in the community rather
Absolutely.
Than just dealing with the doctors and the drugs and all that stuff.
Absolutely. Clubhouses try to be very holistic with the way that they approach their members.
With the current facilities then that exist, and you mentioned the two that closed, I mean, where are the places that people who would use Compass House can go now?
Well, they... there's really no peer-run or places where, like, they're, like most people would confuse Compass House with a drop-in center. There's really no drop-in centers that are really serving anybody right now. With the closure of Hawthorne Center and Dassel, that was really the last of the two that were really vital in the community. So at the moment, the only thing that is really available is traditional mental health treatment, which is primarily done through Jackson County Mental Health.
And is that residential? Is that also transitory? How does that work?
It varies. The county does, if people need it, they do have services that they can provide to be able to get people into residential treatment in certain settings, but it's limited. The majority of treatment that I would say that they have is day treatment, but I would let the county speak on their services that they provide.
So where is Compass House planned for? What's the location?
The location that we are working on is at 332 West 6th Street in Medford, Oregon. It is a facility that is currently unoccupied. We're in the process of negotiating the lease, but within that lease is a remodel because the facility would not yet be ready for clubhouse services. So our plan is that by June... the facility will be, the remodel will be done, and then that by July 1st, we'll be ready to open doors.
So let's see, West 6th Street, somewhere along around Holly Street or something?
Yeah, it's right by the Holly Theater and the Federal Courthouse.
Oh. And so it's a storefront then, or a home, or what?
It is, it's a commercial property. It does have a storefront to it, and it altogether it's about 3,360 square feet. So part of the remodel, because it was never set up to be run as a clubhouse, is installing a kitchen into it, which is probably the most expensive piece of the remodel itself.
All right, so once Compass House is open, who are the people who would be eligible to go there? Would people be turned away if they're not eligible? And what sorts of services would be available to them? How would they spend a day there, I guess?
Okay. So membership eligibility is dependent on mental health diagnosis. So if you have a mental health diagnosis and you're referred to us, then you're eligible for membership. So the mental health diagnosis is the key for membership. Once individuals get involved in Compass House and they start attending, membership is voluntary. There's no dues associated with it. But
saw me writing it. Yeah, I was writing fees or dues? Question mark.
So, but and being that it's voluntary, individuals will show up when they feel like showing up. So the heart of what the clubhouse is what they call the work order day. That takes place within clubhouses in regular business hours. So let's say 8 to 5. So the beginning of the day begins with a meeting where staff and members all sit at a conference table. They'll usually have a whiteboard next to them, and on that whiteboard they will have basically the to-do list of everything that needs to get done around the clubhouse that day. Everything from working reception to doing member outreach to helping members get set up for finding housing, making lunch, doing clerical work, doing grant writing, doing data entry. All of those things will be on the table, and members, based on their own interest, will then pick and choose what areas of the clubhouse they would like to be involved in. And that's usually how clubhouses start their day. And in many cases, you're going to have members that join that don't really want to get involved in that kind of detail. And the clubhouse, their role is to really meet the member where they're currently at. They don't force members to do anything that they're not comfortable with. But what you find within most clubhouses is that oftentimes the environment and the culture that you create, where there is such a work, a shared responsibility between staff and members, that even if a member doesn't want to work, the culture pulls them into it and they find something that they like doing.
So that's an important part of things, it sounds like, then setting the tone in which people do feel like they want to hurt. Who's the overall organizer, daily overseer of this?
Within the clubhouse community, most of them are nonprofits, so they'll usually have a director. Usually the director or a program manager usually will be the chief overseer of the day. And really, I mean, it's not, they're not there with a hammer ruling over everybody. It's, they're there working with them. They're there usually just to make sure that the standards that the clubhouse is living by, they're actually living up to.
Given that you're talking about this as a 501c3, would Compass House have a mix of staff and volunteers?
Yes. Yeah.
And about how many people do you think it would have? If you're talking about a daily attendance of 40, how many staff would you want to have on hand at any given time?
The clubhouse ratio internationally, it averages out for one staff to every 18 members.
One staff to 18.
Yeah. Clubhouses purposely understaff themselves, so you have to depend on member involvement to be able to get through the day.
How long has the clubhouse concept been in use, and what are some of the successes it has borne over the years?
Well, I mean, it's been in use since 1948 when Fountain House was developed. In the 90s, it was adopted as an evidence-based practice by the federal government, which is SAMHSA that I was telling you about earlier. And Clubhouse International formed in the 90s to help standardize the model, because there were a lot of people that were developing organizations that were calling clubhouses, but they would look so different from clubhouse to clubhouse. So what they really wanted to do was create a set of standards that clubhouses could get accredited by. And that way that even each clubhouse in each community is going to be unique to the community that it serves, you can still guarantee that if it is a clubhouse, it will be providing these core pieces.
So a clubhouse in New York would not be terribly different from a clubhouse in Medford, for example?
Just the culture of it would be different, and it would be unique to the community that it serves as a result of that. But you would end up seeing the same types of services being provided.
So what is it going to take? It sounds like you've got quite a number of steps to get through, including you have a meet and greet tonight, it sounds like, to bring in some support.
Yes. So tonight is our very first public event. It's going to be at the Old Carnegie Library in Medford, right next to Alba Park. And it's going on from 5 to 7. And really the goal with this is to have it be a very casual atmosphere where people from the community can come in and meet the individuals that have been putting this together. There will be a brief presentation, and then we'll also be doing a raffle there. And the proceeds from that raffle will actually go into a remodel. So really the overall goal is to introduce individuals to what we're doing, but at the same time educate them on what the clubhouse services actually will be. And the biggest piece that we're trying to push people to understand is that we're much different than a drop-in center. A clubhouse is a much more structured environment that we're bringing in to fill this void that has been left with the closure of our drop-in centers.
So you got a number of hoops to jump through. Do you have approvals, land use, all that sort of stuff from City of Medford, for example?
We have permits in the works. Our landlord is working with us. We're going to be leasing that location for the first 5 years. And after that, our goal might be to actually try to attempt to buy that. But At the moment, we're working with a landlord and a contractor who are working with the city on the permits for everything.
All right. And if all goes well, when open the doors?
July 1st.
July 1st at Compass House. So the beginning of the next fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
What a surprise.
It feels right.
All right. Matt Vorderstrass is involved with the creation of Compass House in Medford, a new mental health facility planned. It's not a drop-in center, as you heard, but it's a clubhouse concept where the clients and the staff work together to manage the place. Matt, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. Bottom of the hour on the Exchange. We'll talk earthquakes in a few moments. First, Garrison Keillor.